You know, what we begin to realize is that God uses people.
Ordinary people.
Ordinary people.
Donkeys even.
Like us.
Right? I mean, we're a grade up from a donkey.
Right?
We qualify.
We qualify.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. And I love the fact that God meets us where we are, and he loves us so much that he doesn't leave us where we are.
Amen.
But he meets us where we are. Oh. And so we want to talk this morning about how easy this really is. You know, because you probably have already sensed by now that religion complicates everything.
Yeah.
And it tries to make you go through interviews and qualifications and all the stuff in order for you to be anointed, not realizing that you've already got the anointed one on the inside
That's
of
right.
you.
That's
Amen?
Right. You know, this whole week we have been sitting under the word. We've been encouraged. We've been built up in our faith. We've been shown how to use our authority in Christ. We've seen some awesome miracles, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
But there comes a point where we need to personally mature in what we've heard. I don't want this to be just another conference. We have a lot of conferences, a lot of events where we go and we get these mountaintop experiences and we get really excited about things and maybe we have some measure of breakthrough, but then we have to go home.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that there are some people that are already dreading going home. They're dreading Saturday morning coming around, thinking I'm going to have to go back to everyday life. How am I going to fit back in that box again? But the thing is, this is what we're talking about this week. The Word of God, relationship with God, isn't just a four-day event. This is a journey. This is a relationship that you're supposed to take from here back home. We need you to leave here. You can't stay here, right? Well, some of you can if you come to Carriage, but only we need you to go out into the world and take what you've been learning this week and implement it.
Amen.
You know, the Lord doesn't have a B plan for creation, right? We're it. We're his hands and feet. We're part of his great commission. And one of the ways that we mature in the things of God is we start to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We have to start doing it.
Yeah.
And our flesh is going to have a fit. But who cares? Why do we listen so much to our flesh? It's not going to eternity with us.
No, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time, give a lot of attention to how we feel in the flesh. Sickness is in the flesh. Sickness is in the body. That body is not going with you into eternity.
That's right.
What's going to go with you into eternity is the people that you've seen saved in this life.
Yeah.
Amen? There's something greater at stake here than just us personally receiving what we need.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that Andrew's message last night should have inspired all of us. It inspired me. You know,
me too.
It's not about us.
Right.
Right? It's not about us. God has created us with his name, with his DNA, with his power, with his grace, with his gifts on the inside of us. Man, wouldn't it be a shame if we don't use it to our full potential, everything that he's put on the inside of us?
Yeah.
And one thing that we've realized through just training probably hundreds of thousands of prayer ministers now all over the world and just having meetings like this is something happens in the level of maturity of the life of a believer when they start to think outside of themselves.
Yeah.
Not just what can I get from God in these 4 days.
Right.
But how can I take what I've learned? How can I be a blessing? How can I be a vessel for the Lord to flow through me? And, you know, some of us might be thinking, well, I've got pain in my body.
Yeah.
I've got sickness in my body. How can I pray for other people?
Yeah.
How can I even think about that when I'm dying on the inside? When
right.
I've got things, when I'm not like a perfect vessel. You know, Andrew says this, he's not looking for silver vessels, perfect vessels. He's just looking for surrendered ones,
yeah.
right? And we're gonna go through today how important it is for us to take what we've learned and minister it to other people. Because something happens in our heart when we go beyond ourselves, when we trust God, when we be that vessel, when we be open to for the Lord to flow through us. The power of God flows through you when you lay hands on somebody else.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen people lay hands on other people that are dealing with a chronic sickness themselves and they both end up getting healed.
Yeah.
I mean, praying for others, it's not just great for other people, it's another way for you to receive your miracle.
Yeah.
It's a byproduct of your relationship with the healer, amen?
Yeah.
So this is powerful.
And we often feel like we don't know enough. We need to, you know, be more, do more. And I'm just reminded, Carly, of when we did that first event in Kansas City, mm-hmm. you know, we had our prayer ministers lined up at the end of the service, and people were coming to the front, and it was great, you know? But this one prayer minister, she said to the lady, you know, how can I minister to you two? And the lady said, I'm blind. And she said, oh, that's not a problem for Jesus. Well, we didn't know this till later, but the blind lady was actually married to a man who was deaf.
And they were in the 80s, right? They've been married a long time.
I mean, they've been married a long time. And afterwards, we got to talking about what would this relationship be like to have a blind wife and a deaf husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine doing life like
it's
that?
Challenging.
So anyway, the prayer minister says, hey, that's not a problem for Jesus. You know, Jesus healed blind people all the time. So she puts her hands on the lady's eyes and she begins to declare healing over the lady. She takes her hands off and she says to the lady, so how are we doing? And the lady goes, oh my God, I can see. And the prayer minister says, really? Now, I'm telling you, that is not how you want to respond.
So that is not the sign of somebody that has had vast amounts of experience.
Right?
But yet the Lord used them and they saw an amazing miracle, right? And, you know, the funny thing is later that day, we had a debrief with all of our team and we talked about all the things that had happened. And, you know, we're spread out. Everyone gets busy in the moment. So we get back together and it turns out that somebody else prayed for our husband and his deafness went, his ears opened. And the thing that we, I know, is pretty cool. How did that change their marriage?
Right?
I didn't know you looked like that.
I know.
And he'll be like, I didn't know you sounded like that. Right? But the point is, we do not need to have vast experience in the Lord for him to use us. We have made this way more complicated than it needs to be.
Way more complicated.
Way more complicated.
Yeah.
If you are born again for a few minutes, you have the power of God living on the inside of you.
That's
you have
right.
already received Jesus, the healer, the dead raising power of God on the inside of you. That means you're qualified.
Yeah.
You're qualified to lay hands on the sick. You're qualified now to be part of the Great Commission. It's not based on your amazing resume.
Right.
On your Sunday school attendance.
Yeah.
Right? We are advocates. We're graduates of Bible school. You don't have to be a graduate of Bible school to lay hands on the sick and see miracles.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
We just need to be disciples of Jesus. We need to have received Jesus on the inside, because when we minister to other people, it's not our power.
Right.
It's him that's the healer. We're just the monkeys that lay the hands on. I can be a monkey. Anyone else? Right? We can do that. The biggest hindrance is usually between our own ears.
It's the truth.
Our own fear.
Let me share an example from scripture. You guys know this, but out of Mark chapter 16, Jesus appears to the two disciples, and then he appears to the 11. And in verse 14, we'll pick it up there in Mark 16, verse 14. He says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Now look at the next verse. And then he said to them, go into all the world. Now, did you just hear that? He just rebuked them for their unbelief and said, now go into all the world.
Yeah. You're ready.
You qualify.
Yeah. Anyone struggling with unbelief, you're ready.
You're ready. You're ready. God's saying, you can go where you are with what you have. Don't feel like you're not enough and you don't have enough. If you're a believing believer, you qualify.
And, you know, this is such a lie of the enemy.
Yeah.
When he sees you, he's like, oh my gosh, they're awake, right? They've got a pulse. They could be dangerous to my kingdom. He sees you in your full potential in Christ and knows how deadly you are to the powers of darkness.
That's right.
And he'll do anything he can to throw any lie he can your way, any symptom he can your way, to stop you from realizing that. And when we just push through and decide to believe the word of God above his lies and his distraction, we'll see the same works and greater works than Jesus saw.
Yeah.
That's the words of Jesus.
Yeah. Look later at verse 20 of this same chapter, you guys, Mark 16. It says, and they went out. So thank God, you know, because that's probably more than most of the church does.
You know, two-thirds of God's name is go.
Go.
Go. Go. Go. Movement.
That's a heavy revy right there.
I know,
there.
Right there.
Right?
Deep man. Revelation.
Come on. And they went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. He said these signs would follow those who believe.
Yep.
How many believing believers do we have in the room today?
Come on.
Amen.
That's the deadly kind right there.
Signs are gonna follow you wherever you go. What do those signs look like? Well, you know, last night we had a little piece of confetti fall down from the ceiling during worship. Did any of you see that? And I leaned over to Carly and Ashley and I said, well, thank God it wasn't feathers. Because years ago...
You should plant some up there just for fun.
Yeah. There was a situation in Tulsa, actually, where a lady was, quote, manifesting the Holy Ghost. And I am not making this up. She shoved feathers up her sleeves. And when the Holy Ghost would manifest, she would take her sleeves like this, her arms, and throw them up, and feathers would begin to fall down. Now, this is not what Jesus was talking about, okay? He said, these signs will follow those who believe. Jesus said we would do the same works that he did. Yep. And you know, it's so weird to me how people have got so strange about what signs look like.
Right.
What the ministry of the Spirit of God through a believer actually looks like. One of my favorite responses, by the way, to that whole craziness was Dr. Ken Stewart, who was the provost at Rhema Bible Training Center at the time. He said after that had happened, and it was kind of a big thing back in the day, he said, okay, so my question is, I just want to know, who shot the Holy Ghost?
That's deep.
If the Holy Ghost was a dove?
Oh my gosh.
No, the Holy Ghost is a person who is living on the inside of you. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are three in one. You've got the power of God living on the very inside of you.
Amen.
And Jesus wants every one of us to be involved in what he's doing in the earth today.
Yeah. Man,
pretty exciting.
This is so powerful. We have to realize that we are not alone in this world. Right? That we have a Lord that lives on the inside of us, that never leaves us or forsakes us, that enables us to do things far beyond our natural human abilities. In this scripture here in Mark 16, go down to in verse 20 again, it says, then they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Working with them. You see that? The word, working with them, that phrase, and confirming the word through accompanying signs. That working with them is the word synergio. And it means to work together or to be in partnership. God is literally in partnership. He is partnered with us when we're doing his work.
Yeah.
Think about that. How many of you want God partnering with you?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Come on, that makes me want to get out there and lay hands on some people. He says he works together. He's in partnership with us, and he's also putting forth power together with and thereby assisting.
Yeah.
That's what that word means, working with, right? So he puts forth power together with us and thereby assisting. When we lay our hands on people, it's not us that's laying our hands on people. It's like the Lord's coming right behind you, and his power is now going, your hand becomes his hand, and his power comes through your hand to affect the people that you're laying hands on.
That's right.
Get that visual on the inside of you, because it makes you bolder next time you're in a ministry situation.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, people just get so in the flesh, they're too afraid or nervous to step out of their comfort zones. And, you know, fear is a huge hindrance. For how many people have never laid hands on someone or never prayed for the sick? For anyone that's brave enough, get over the fear to put your hand up. Never actually pray for somebody else. Thank you for being honest. Anyone else? Anyone else? Other people? Thank you. Anyone else? I want to see your hands. You've never prayed for somebody else to be healed. You know, there's one thing that we can do. We receive healing in our own bodies. That's one thing. But to go and extend that to somebody else,
right?
That really is a stretch of our faith. That's saying, that's making yourself vulnerable. What if people reject me?
Right.
What if they say no?
Yeah, the what ifs.
Yeah, all of the what ifs. What, you know, it's kind of like intimidating.
What if I lay my hands on them and they die?
But what if, right? What if it gets worse? Yeah. I mean, just next, right? I mean, move on.
What do you do? What if I declare something's going to happen and it doesn't happen and I look bad?
You see, these are natural things, but when we're asking the question, part of it is because we're believing that we're responsible for the results.
Did you hear that?
You know, if you lead somebody to the Lord, are you going to claim credit for their salvation? No, you're not, right? You're going to see them in heaven and say, oh, it's because of me that you were here. I don't think so, right? But why then would we take credit for somebody not receiving or seemingly not receiving a manifestation of healing?
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to take credit if something instantaneous happens and they receive an amazing miracle. But then why would we take credit if we don't see anything?
Right.
The response, the response isn't our issue. Our part in this is just to be obedient.
Yeah.
Is just to trust God and say, I'm willing to step beyond my comfort zone. I'm willing to be your hands and feet, Lord, in this world. I'm willing to be part of this great commission. And when we do that, we're not responsible for the results. Man, when I heard that, that just took all the pressure off me.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, so you mean that I can go lay hands on people and just let Jesus do your thing? And I'm not responsible for what happens next?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what that does? That gives you boldness.
It really does.
But I remember one time I was on a mission trip in Nicaragua, and I had a whole team of students. I was the team leader there, and we had a small, we went to a school, and as we went into the school in this impoverished neighborhood, all the kids came out, it was like a carnival going on. Except there was one little girl that wasn't running and joining in with all the celebrations like everybody else. She was sitting in the corner on a chair with her mother sitting next to her. She was about 5 years old. And the Lord just really highlighted her to me. And I said to the students, watch, the Lord's going to heal this little girl. I knew that there was something in this little girl. There was a reason that she wasn't playing with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And as we approached this little girl, it was obvious that one of her legs was at least 3 inches shorter than the other one. It was so noticeable. You could see she had a stunted leg. And, you know, in those communities, they don't have different aids and things, you know, special devices. So yeah. She just couldn't join in. She couldn't play with everybody else. But I said to the students, watch what is going to, the Lord is going to heal this little girl.
See, so you declared it.
Well, I declared it.
You made a commitment to mm-hmm. it. Now what if it doesn't happen?
Well, that was the very next thought that came in my mind. Everyone, you know, sometimes things will come. Does anyone ever do this where things comes out your mouth and you'll be like, oh,
did I just say that?
Yeah. That's the first time I've heard that. What have I said now? I've got myself in a right pickle.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to look really stupid and I'm supposed to be the group leader, right? I'm making all these wild claims about the Lord. And what if you don't show up? All of these things were running through my mind like 100 in a second, you know, 100 miles an hour. But, you know, I never prayed for that little girl. I just pulled her legs out level. And as we pulled her legs out level, her little leg just went pop, exactly the same as the other leg. And everyone around me was like, wow. And I'm like, wow.
It's like, can I say that backwards?
Wow. Right? But, you know, we can be bold about the promises of God.
Yes.
Because we don't lay hands on people. We don't pray for people in our ability.
No.
We don't take credit. And when it's not our ability anyway.
It's not even our word.
It's not our word. We're just the vessels.
Yeah.
And when we understand that, we can walk in boldness, knowing that we can speak boldly about the promises of God. You know, the Lord's not up in heaven saying, oh, please don't promise them that.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure I can deliver.
Yeah.
The lights in heaven might dim.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just not sure it's a good day. You know, he's not worried about you speaking big about his promises. He wants you to.
And how will you ever know unless you activate in it? See, if we're just hearers of the word, what does the Bible say about that? We actually are deceiving ourselves, right? So if we hear the word and we put it into action, when we begin to activate what we're hearing, mm-hmm. right, we begin to realize that, wait a minute, this isn't just about me sitting at a conference and hearing a teaching and then like, okay, that was really good, next conference. No, God's saying, I want you to go. I want you to put into action what I've already placed in your heart. And it reminds me again, we've talked about Mark 16, but we see the same thing over in Matthew 28 when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. So therefore, go. Mm-hmm. Everybody say, go.
Go.
Yeah, I love that. You know, what we often do, you know, if you come up to a traffic light at an intersection, we often are like, oh man, that light. We call them, you know, oftentimes stop signs. Well, if it's a traffic light, you know, not only does it have red and yellow, but it's also got green. So why are we looking at the Great Commission as if it's a stop sign? As if it's a red light and we've got to somehow pray to discern whether it's the will of God that we actually go do this.
Yeah.
No, we've already got a green light. God's already given us the go. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Well, what did Jesus command us? To go lay hands on the sick.
Yeah, look at this in Matthew 10 and we'll start in verse 1 actually. You know, we were talking about authority, Audrey was yesterday. But he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits and cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases.
All kinds.
Every kind. You know, when the Lord gave his disciples authority, he gave them the power and the authority.
That's right.
Amen. And, you know, the exousia and the dominion, if you want to get into the Greek.
Right.
But that means that we have the right to rule and reign and bring about God's kingdom on this earth. And we also have the supernatural power of God partnering with us, assisting with us to back that up.
Yeah.
He gave this to his disciples. You know, the Great Commission didn't end with the disciples. It began with them. Who's a disciple? Then we're part of it. Go on down into verse 7 there. This is Matthew 10, verse 7. As you go, here's the going again, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. That's what happens if somebody dies when you pray for them. Raise the dead.
That's it.
Right? And cast out demons. And here's the bit I want you to see. Freely you have received. You have received. Say, I have received.
Amen.
Now freely give. Right? Yeah. We cannot let what we have learned this week stagnate on the inside of us. You know, the Lord showed me a picture. We used to have a bird's nest that every year would come and the birds would come and build their nest in the eaves outside their bedroom window.
Yeah.
And it was like watching flight school. You know, the chicks would get bigger and bigger and the parents would come back and they'd feed the little worms and you'd hear them chirping, you know, it's so cute. And then one by one, they'd have to leave the nest. And they'd do a lap and they'd come back and then they'd get a bit more adventurous. We called it watching flight school, watching these little chicks take flight.
I like that.
But you know, if they'd never taken flight, what was going to happen eventually was they'd get so fat they wouldn't be able to leave the nest. They've got to leave the nest at some point.
Yeah.
And we can't just come conference after conference after conference, getting fed and become fat little chicks.
Yeah.
Right? We've got to go to flight school. We need to get out and start using it. And if we want to see the power of God working through us, it's going to take a leap of faith, amen, to go and do what he's asked to do. We have received this week. You just told me that you've received this week. So now the question is, what are you going to do with what you've got? Mm-hmm. Now we've given you a problem, right? You've had so much word this week, we cannot plead ignorance. Who's learned some things this week? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the next stage of learning is doing.
Yeah.
So here we go. We're able ministers.
We are able ministers. And Carly, when Jesus said in verse 8 that you just read, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, and freely give, these guys weren't even born again yet. He had given them authority and power, but they didn't have the Spirit of God living in them yet.
We have a lot more now than
they had
then. We've
got a lot more than they had then, right? But what I think a lot of people hear is freely you will receive someday. As a born-again believer, do you know that you have already freely received?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen? We need to be careful that we don't keep trying to get what we already have been given.
Yeah, otherwise we're stuck in the waiting zone.
No.
Right? No one likes to be stuck in the waiting zone. Where, you know, and you hear this phrase, I'm just waiting on God.
Yeah.
You know, what they mean is, I don't know if God's going to show up or God's not going to show up.
Yeah.
When we're waiting on God, we should be that actual phrase is talking about something different. It's talking about looking with an expectation, with a confident expectation of something good.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know, I think of it like this. When we're waiting on God, it's like a kid waiting for Christmas. You know, when on December 1st, when the kids get their advent calendars out and they open the little door on December 1st, you ever done that? Right? And then the next day they get more excited because, you know, we're a day closer to Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And December the 3rd, it's a little bit more excited. Every day that goes by, kids are getting more and more excited, not because they're having to wait. They're not having a tantrum because they had to wait.
Yeah.
They get more excited because they know Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming. There's good things that are coming. Don't let the enemy have you stuck in the waiting zone, waiting, thinking, one day I'm going to receive something. One day, it's like lottery God. My number's going to come up and I'm going to win. No, our confession when we leave here was like, I went there, and I received.
Yeah.
I already received.
Yeah.
But now's the next step. Now's the giving out part.
You know, when Jesus died, he became the seed, or we could say it this way, the body of Jesus became the seed for the body of Christ. Up until his death and resurrection, there was no body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay? So Jesus had to die in order for that seed, we've been talking about seeds all week long, for that seed to be planted in the ground.
Yeah.
And out from that body of Jesus came what we now know as the body of Christ that we are all a part of. And so for us today, we've got to understand that this is not about us. This is about who we are in him and who he is in us.
Amen.
And it's so much greater than we could even ask or think.
I love it.
But God says, according to the power that works within you.
Yeah.
So Carly just said, you are able ministers. And it's so true. But let's look at a scripture here that really confirms that out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 4 through 6. It says this, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Again, there it is with humility. We've been talking about being humble, being teachable. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. I want to say that again. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God.
Yeah.
Who also made us sufficient as ministers of this new covenant,
mm-hmm.
not of the letter or the law, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life.
Mm-hmm.
God says, this is who you are.
Yeah.
And you're an able minister.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how tall you are. Well, in your case.
I grew to perfection early. That's what it is.
Come on. I tell Carly, she's a short package with dynamite.
That's it. I'll
right?
take it.
And, you know, we often look at the image of what we think a public healing minister is supposed to look like, whatever that means. We've seen people from our past and we love them, we honor them. But it was just said this morning, I think Raquel said it, and Herman, we've got to be very careful that we're not looking to a person.
Right.
We're looking unto Jesus.
Yeah.
He is the author and the finisher. He's the source. And he says, your sufficiency is not coming from an image of what you think it's supposed to look like. Your sufficiency is coming from me.
Amen. And that means that goes beyond how you feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, we all know our hang-ups. We're
yeah.
very aware of our own inadequacies, our own failures.
We're all human.
We're all human, right? But our sufficiency when it comes to ministry only comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from our vast experience. It doesn't come from our great resume.
Right.
We're sufficient because the word of God says that we are.
Yeah.
We are sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. And that applies to everyone. That's not a fivefold calling. That's every born-again believer.
Yeah.
Every born-again believer, amen, should have a reason in their heart, an explanation for why they believe what they believe. That's,
yeah.
that's a calling for everybody. You don't have to be an evangelist to operate in that. So this sufficiency, when we understand who we are in Christ as we've been learning all week, man, it should stir us up. It should give us a boldness, you know, especially we've seen many people this week as well, baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Man, that changes you. That equips you for this world.
Yeah.
You're not on your own, amen. You're an ambassador here on earth. It's time we started ambassadoring.
Yeah.
Just made up a new word.
Then. Yeah, it works. And you know what? Where is the presence of God today? Right? You are the temple of what? Of the Holy Ghost. So the presence of God is literally living on the inside of you. We're often waiting for God to come, God to do something. Oh, we're waiting on God, as Carly said.
A lot of waiting.
You know what? Actually, God's waiting on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're all he has in the earth today to move through. That's why we're called the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it reminds me of Acts chapter 3 when we saw the demonstration of this last night. By the way, was that not incredible? Artistic production from last night. But in Acts chapter 3, it's the story of Peter and John going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And after this lame man gets up and goes into the temple, and he's leaping and walking and praising God. And verse 9 of Acts 3 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Well, they had seen him at that gate beautiful for almost 40 years. He had been there for almost 40 years, as we find out later in the chapter. Now, they see this guy who had been lame for all those years, walking and leaping and praising God. What do you do with that? Right? How do you refute that healing in today's world? How do we say healing passed away with the last apostle? That is stupid on steroids. I mean, there is no way that you can prove that from scripture. In fact, just the opposite is the truth. But what did these people do with this in this day that didn't believe in healing or thought that, you know, somehow it had passed away when Jesus died? No, his power and his authority and his life is now resident on the inside of these disciples. But look at what Peter says in verse 12. When the people saw what Peter had done, what Peter and John had done, and Peter saw what their reaction was, let's actually jump to verse 11. It says, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them. All the people ran together to who? To them. Why? Because they're looking at Peter and John like they're the healers. Oh my goodness. What happened? So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Listen to what he said. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? And he goes on to tell them in verse 16, God raised them up from the dead, of which we are all witnesses, including this healed man, and through his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you now see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, not just faith in your faith, but faith in the finished works of Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So listen, they knew that it wasn't their godliness. They knew it wasn't their goodness that had healed this man. It was the power of God, but it had to operate through them.
Yeah.
What if Peter and John had just said, hey, you know what? Sorry, you're lame, guy. Too bad for you. That guy would probably have been there until he was 80.
Maybe.
Right?
If he lasted that long.
But they took an opportunity that they saw, which, guys, listen, we have opportunities around us every day, all over the place. We see people who are in, you know, grocery stores. We see people who are at markets. Carly just shared when she was ministering on Wednesday night about, I love that story, about the Walmart story. But can you just quickly share that again?
Yeah.
Something as ordinary as going into Walmart. See, this is what happened to Peter and John.
Yeah.
They were just on their way into the temple to pray.
Absolutely.
And they saw a divine appointment, an opportunity. But what if they had not known that they had been freely given to where they could freely receive?
Well, I think an amazing thing happens when you recognize that you've received from God and you say, Lord, I'm willing. I might be afraid. I might be nervous. I might feel like I'm completely out of my comfort zone, but I'm willing. And Lord, if you give me opportunities, Holy Spirit, help me have the boldness to take them. When you do that, you're going to find those opportunities start to come to you. You're going to, if you sign up for the program, you're going to have opportunities come to you to lay hands on the sick.
Oh, yeah.
To touch people, to show people the love of Christ.
Yeah.
You might think, well, I've never had that opportunity. Well, are you willing? Because when you make that switch in your heart, God knows he can trust you. He'll bring people. You know, people are his greatest asset. They're his most thing in creation that he said was really good, that he loves the most. But he wants to know that he can trust you with his people. So when you're willing and you ask the Lord, he will give you opportunities. We were in Walmart. This was years ago now. Our kids were little. And, you know, the checkout lady, the cashier lady, was clearly struggling with something very physical in her shoulders and things. And she was so slow. My daughter got so frustrated with the slowness of her checking out that she said, well, my mom can pray for you and you'll be healed. Won't she, mom? And, you know, the kids do that, right? They put you on the spot. But sure enough, that gave us opportunity to pray for that lady. She got healed. And then we had a prayer line right there in the middle of Walmart. You know, when we... Amen.
Amen.
This happened. Our son was playing soccer. He used to play soccer for a Christian high school. And we would travel and go watch him and stuff. And one day... And, you know, we realized that even in Christian schools, not everyone's a believer. Right? There's plenty of opportunities. Not everyone believes the same way. There's plenty of sick people still there.
Or how about Christian churches?
Come on, right? Come on, we can be the difference makers.
Just saying.
That's true. But you know, there was an accident right out there on the field, a tackle, a hard tackle, and there was a whole bunch of boys. It was out there, quite a ways out there, and I didn't realize at the time our son Joshua was right in the middle of that bunch of boys. He was under the pile of people, and we'd heard like a snap. And everyone, all the mums and dads were like, oh, that's really bad. And, you know, our team, unfortunately, up until that point, had a bit of a losing streak because everyone kept getting injured. So every week the ambulance showed up to cart somebody off, you know. And so they were used to this. They'd gotten used to this. They hadn't been in Healing Is Here all week, right, seeing signs, wonders and miracles. They were used to seeing the ambulance show up and, you know, having all these doctor's reports and injuries and things. Well, when this we heard this snap, everyone's like, oh, that's probably going to take surgery. Yeah, that's a broken leg or a broken ankle, probably going to need pins. You know, all of the prophets of doom came out in that moment. It's what happens when you start believing God for something, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You're surrounded by people. And something just rose up on the inside of me. It was grating on me. Because I knew that I had received the power of God on the inside of me to change some of these situations.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit was stirring me up.
Yeah.
Well, eventually the dog pile of bodies kind of parted and I realized it was our son Joshua that was at the bottom of that pile. I tell you, that was like a red rag to a bull. Mama Bear came out in that moment. Now I'm even more invested. Now it's my son at the bottom. It's my son's bone that snapped. And something just rose up on the inside of me. And I said, I've had just about as much as I can take of you all. That's it. I'm not listening to this anymore. And I stamped down the risers. It was those metal risers that are really noisy in the stadiums, you know. I stamped down with great emphasis on every step. So it reverberated. The vibrations went through all of the benches. Everyone was feeling it. Until everyone was looking at me, my husband looked horrified, probably thought, what is this crazy woman doing? That's my wife again. There she goes. And, you know, by this point, the coaches had carried our son to the bench at the side of the pitch there. And they were all gathered around, you know, looking, you know, terrible. And this is going to be awful. And Josh is in a lot of pain. And I just walked down and said, Josh, I looked Josh in the face. I said, Josh, how do you feel? And he goes, it hurts. He says, okay, well, we're going to pray. We're going to pray because that's what we do. And Jesus is going to heal your ankle. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
And he was like, yes, Mum, I believe that. So I looked at the coach. He says, I'm going to lay hands on this ankle and this bone's going to knit back together. Can I get an amen? And you would have thought I'd slapped him in the face at that point.
I'm sure.
Right?
I'm sure.
And it didn't occur to me that we were paying the Catholic team. And I don't know if they even believe the same things that we believe.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's okay. Jesus loves Catholics.
Yeah.
And so you can be healed. Doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter, right? So I held onto Josh's ankle real tight. And I said, okay, I'm going to take that amen as a prayer of agreement. Right? Where two or three are gathered. I think I bullied them into it, but I took it anyway. So I just squeezed his ankle real hard. Yeah. And we commanded those bones to knit back together. And even though Josh was in pain, he was in faith.
Yeah.
Right? And it wasn't pretty. I said, okay, strap that boot back on. We're going to start walking. And, you know, we walked. It was one of those pitches that was surrounded by a running track, you know, high school soccer.
Yep.
And we started walking around that running track. And then we started jogging around that running track. And then we started running around that running track until he was running ahead of me. I wasn't holding him anymore. He was full pelt. And everyone in the stadium, they'd forgotten the match was going on. They were watching what God was doing.
Yeah.
We became the spectacle of God's glory in that moment.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Amen.
Well.
Amen.
It did something in that community because the next week, you know, they put him back on the second half and he played better than the first half, but it started to get around. When you start to step out of your comfort zone and pray for people, people are going to talk about you more than they do already.
That's right.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, we had a healing line. All the people with broken bones and concussions from the weeks before, we had a healing line. We started seeing miracles in the soccer team. You can affect your community. You don't need to be on a pulpit, on a platform.
Right.
You can operate in the power of God right there in your home, in your supermarket, in your school, in your workplace. Yeah. In fact, the Lord needs you to.
Yeah. And if you're just available, it's God's ability. We call it availability, but it's really God's ability.
Yeah.
But he's got to do it through you.
Yeah.
You know, one day I was working out and this lady fell off the treadmill in front of me. I was working out and all of a sudden, boom, she just fell off. And I'm like, are you okay? And she's starting to cry and she's like, no, I think I might have broken something. I'm not sure. And nobody even paid attention to her. When she fell off of the treadmill, it was almost like nobody could even see her. I mean, it was like she was invisible.
So sad.
Yeah. I mean, nobody did anything. So anyway, I just went down and I said, I believe in healing. Can I lay hands on you and pray, declare, actually, I said, healing over your body. And she said, okay.
So shocked.
Yeah. And so, you know, I just said, whatever's out of order, come into order. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I just said, be healed in Jesus' name. And she wiped her tears and she said, thank you so much. And you know, I went and finished my workout and she went someplace else. Well, about an hour later, I saw her with three of her girlfriends leaving the workout center and she was pointing to me. And she goes, that's him.
That's the one.
I mean, she was so happy. She was feeling good. But you know what? People aren't expecting this kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you say, can I pray for you? They're expecting to go to the cathedral, light a candle, you know.
Yeah, add their name to your prayer list.
Say a prayer, yeah. You know. So we were in the UK in February of this year, and my wife and I went into a Molton Brown shop. And
excellent choice, by
yeah, the way. I love Molton Brown. But anyway, those of you not from the UK, never mind. We'll let that
just
go.
Let that one go.
So we're in the shop, and the lady bends down to get the product, and she goes, oh, my back. Now, what am I going to do? Right? You can't say something like that in front of me and me just go, oh, sorry.
No, sorry.
You know? So I said, we believe in healing. We see healing happen all the time. Would it be all right if I pray for you? I said, back, whatever's out of order, come into order in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
See, you don't, I think, Carly, you talked about this the other night. You don't have to make some big, long, complicated prayer.
Right.
Right? The shorter, the better.
Yep.
Right? It's easy.
Come on.
Right? So anyway, we made our purchase and we were leaving the store and I said, she was very gracious. And I said to the lady, by the way, how's your back? She said, oh, I'm feeling so much better. Thank you so much. Well, the next day we ended up going back to the shop. We wanted to get one more thing. And when we walked in the shop, there were four other clerks in that shop at that moment. And all four of them turned around when we walked into the shop and said, there they are. And we're looking around like, you know, who are they talking about? And they said, we have to tell you what happened. She ended up not coming to work today, but she called this morning to tell us that she not only slept through the night for the first time in weeks, but all the pain has left her body.
Amen.
And her back is completely healed.
Amen. Yeah.
So one of the clerks said to me, so how does this work exactly? And I briefly explained to her that it's not me, it's the power of God. It's the name of Jesus. And she said, so will this work like for anything? And I said, oh, absolutely. She said, the lottery? I don't know. I'm just not explaining this quite
according
right.
According to your faith.
Right?
Let it be unto you.
But I'm telling you, God will meet you where you are. You'll have opportunities when you're traveling, when you're shopping, when you're out and about. You begin to see through the eyes of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you begin to hear with Jesus' ears. And isn't this what Jesus said? Mm-hmm. I only do what the Father shows me. I only do what the Father has said to do.
Yeah.
And as you're tuned into the Spirit of God, you've got Him living on the inside of you.
Yep.
He wants to flow through you and use you.
Amen. So this is so important and powerful that we don't want to miss this opportunity this week. We want to go through some very practical things. I've been walking around in the hallways in between sessions and things and having conversations with people. And one of the things that keeps coming up is, well, what should I pray? What are the words that I should pray?
Yeah.
So we want to give you some tools of how to pray for people. It could be your neighbor, your friend, whoever needs prayer, to really equip you so you have some of those tools so you feel more, you know, when people feel equipped, they feel bolder,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's not complicated,
right.
But sometimes it just helps to have some tools, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to practice,
right?
Right? To practice what you have been given. But we don't, as Daniel was saying, we don't need to overcomplicate this. One of the things that we do need to make sure we're doing is that we're not asking God to do something that He's already done, right? And I would encourage you, listen to the way other people praying. How many people have received ministry this week from our prayer ministers, right? You will never catch one of these prayer ministers asking the Lord to heal somebody. So take note of how you've heard them praying for you. You know, they're giving you an example. You know, Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. He said to His disciples when He was teaching them how to pray, you know, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, He was appropriating the Father's will on earth. healing has always been God's will. So we don't need to ask God what his will is when it comes to praying for the sick. We do not need to ask God if it's his will to heal Auntie Flo. The answer is always yes. So that needs to make a difference in the way that we pray.
Yeah.
When we come to pray for people, we don't need to be saying, Lord, please just heal Auntie Flo. Please just heal Daniel here. You know, we don't need to be preaching to the Lord either. He also knows the word.
Right.
Oh, Lord, in your word, you say.
Yeah.
You know, that healing belongs to us. Well, that's great that you're reminding God, but he didn't forget.
Yeah.
He's good. You know, that religiosity so often can creep into our prayers, and then we wonder why they're just not really that effective.
Yeah.
Right? Let's keep it real simple. Mark 11 is such a famous passage, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it shows us that we need to be speaking to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We need to speak to the mountain. Jesus says, speak to the mountain, it's going to be cast into the sea. Believing in your heart, you're going to have what you say when you pray.
Yeah.
That moment. So we need to speak directly to the problem, and we need to believe it's done when we're praying, not while we're waiting for it.
We actually can't find any example in Scripture where Jesus prayed for someone who was sick.
He told his disciples to go heal the sick, not pray for them.
And Jesus modeled it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've turned a go, a command, a do, into a prayer meeting. Right? Let's just sit around and pray about it. No, let's not pray about it. Let's go do what Jesus said to do.
Yeah.
He said, go heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, and you will see them recover.
Yep.
Not just pray about it, right? So it's very important for us to do what Jesus said and to realize—
He's our model.
You model it, right? So again, Carly, you know, when you're ministering to somebody and somebody's coming up to you and you're wanting to, you know, they're wanting to have a prayer meeting, what do you do?
Or an organ recital.
What are we talking about? Have you ever heard them? They start with every organ in their body and tell you what's wrong. Right? Oh, my goodness. And you know why people do that? I asked the Lord about this one time, and they said, the Lord said to me, it's because they're used to doing this for a medical doctor.
Yeah, they're just rehearsing it.
When you go to the doctor, he says, okay, so what's going on? What's wrong? And you begin to go through all the things of what are wrong.
And, you know, there's a history in this, right? Especially if you're ministering to somebody that you've never met, that you're not familiar with, you don't know any of their background. Sometimes it's necessary to ask people, you know, how can I agree with you? Because remember, when you're ministering to somebody, you want to agree with them if possible. So how can I agree with you in prayer? And you find out what they're believing for, and then you're going to meet them in that place of faith. That's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
You know, through many different examples in the scriptures here.
Right.
But, you know, as we start to do that, sometimes you'll get that response. That organ recital starts to come out. And what we need to do in ministry is we're trying to create an atmosphere of expectation.
Yeah.
Have you noticed everything about the event this week is planned? Right? All of the sessions are planned. The worship is planned. The songs are planned. God gives people downloads ahead of time on how to plan that schedule.
Yeah.
And the reason behind that is because we are intentionally building an expectation in the hearts of the hearers.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to come from a place of, "Ow, everything hurts in my body," to, "Hang on a minute, everything's about to change in a heartbeat."
Right.
We can create a measure of expectation in people with our words. So if we allow people to go on a 30-minute monologue of how terrible everything is, and then we're like, oh, but hang on a minute, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their heart can't make that shift that quickly.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but so does unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know as much as is necessary, but not more than is necessary, because we are trying to bring people into an atmosphere of faith. When you minister to somebody,
and
we're going to get you doing this in a minute. When you minister to somebody, you're in that little bubble for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create an atmosphere of faith where people's focus isn't on everything that's going on in their body, isn't in every symptom that's screaming so loud on the inside of them, but for a moment, they're focused on Jesus. They're focused on what he's already done for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking with expectation. They're watching now for signs of life. You know, I had a man one time, and he came to a conference, and he had a problem. He was completely paralyzed in his arm. And when he came for prayer, I was a prayer minister, he came for prayer, and I said, "What are you believing God for? What are you expecting to happen when I pray for you?" He goes, oh, I don't know. I'm like, well, I know. I know what's going to happen when I pray for you.
Come on now.
Sometimes people have been sick for such a long time that their expectation has taken a hit, right? Maybe they've had 100 people pray for them and nothing has happened.
Yep.
Maybe the people that were praying for them never expected anything to happen either.
Right.
But you're different. When you pray for people, you expect something to change.
Absolutely.
In that moment.
Absolutely.
Because now faith is,
yep.
Not next week faith. Now faith, right?
Yep.
So I said to him, I know exactly what's going to happen when I pray for you. The power of God's going to go into your arm. All of your nerves are going to come back online. They're going to connect. That bones, those muscles are going to become strong. That feeling's going to come back and you're going to get movement back. He goes, I like what you just said. I'm like, okay, now we're in agreement, right? Now we've come to a place of agreement and expectation. So I told him what to expect. We can really help people that have had a lot of disappointment in their life by raising their level of expectation and telling them exactly how this is going to work out.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to pray for you.
Yeah.
We have great expectation. When we line our prayer ministers up, we have huge expectation because we already know the will of God is yes.
Yeah.
We already know the power of God is present, that Jesus is ready, able, and willing. So all we need to do is find a place of agreement for the power of God to flow.
Mm-hmm.
And we can help people with that with our words by setting that measure of expectation.
There was a man who came up for healing one day, and I just had this sense within me, which was obviously the Holy Spirit, that he was not born again yet. And so I just paused and I was listening to the Holy Ghost, and I said, sir, are you born again? He goes, no. I said, would you like to be? He said, not really. So I said, okay, well, how can I minister to you? He said, I came up here for healing. Is that all right? And I said,
he had an attitude, but not faith.
Right? And I said, absolutely. And so I ministered to him. He instantly received his healing. And I said, would you like to be born again now? He said, I sure would.
Right? He can just meet people where they're at.
When the goodness of God is experienced in your life, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
Man,
amen.
I'm telling you, God is so for us. If we could just begin to realize, no matter, you know, where you are in life, God wants you well more than you want to be well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So another skill, what would you say is the most important thing to do when praying for people?
Hearing God.
Come on.
Absolutely. You know, don't ever assume. You know, if you see somebody coming up in a wheelchair, we had this example that Carly and I use when we're teaching our students. You know, it's easy to look at the wheelchair and think, okay, I know exactly what this person needs. This particular lady that I'm thinking about right now, I said, how can we minister to you? And she said, would you just agree with me that I could pay my grocery bill? That's where she was at,
yeah.
Right? So, of course, we met her where she was at. And it's important for us not to just assume. So hearing God, and I think this is one of the areas where the enemy comes against us so much. Mm-hmm. He tries to get us to believe that we can't hear God, or somehow our hearing is damaged, or it's inferior. We got a B version, you know, as opposed to plan A.
The clearance section Christians.
Right. You know, everybody else
in
can
the reduced
hear God more clearly than we can. Right? So hearing the Holy Spirit, because as you're ministering to that person, you don't want to just see them like another number.
Yeah.
You don't want to see them like a sickness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's my cancer case. Here's my diabetes case. No, these are people that God loves.
Amen.
And gave his life for.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, when you get a picture of that person that you're ministering to as a healed person, you know, I'm telling you, the love of God, compassion is so powerful. You know, there's 5 times in the Gospels it says Jesus was moved with compassion.
Yeah.
And every time miracles followed.
Yeah, every time.
You know, compassion that moves us is like priming the pump for the power of God to flow.
Yeah.
See the person, not the problem. Amen.
Yeah.
That's so important. We're not just trying to get someone born again. We're not just trying to get someone healed. You know, we're ministering to somebody that's made in God's image.
Right.
That he has a plan for their life. And to minister with that compassion, it just does something, breaks something. I remember one time a lady, she had leg ulcers and she had bandages all over her from her knee down to her foot. And I don't know, everyone has their things, right? I'm not a foot person, right? I just think they're kind of gross, right? And they smell bad. And this lady, you know, I'm just thinking of Mike Kesh this morning, right? The smell does something. It's offensive to your senses sometimes, isn't it, right? And that can be a distraction. But I remember going to pray for her, and you know, the leg ulcers were like oozing, and you know, it was offensive to my senses.
You see so many different situations, don't you?
And I'm like, Lord, can I just say the word? Don't make me lay hands on this lady. Can I just say the word? I just want to speak the word only. And he's like, no, I want you to lay hands on this lady. And so I'm like, all right. So I laid my hands over the bandages. And he's like, no, I want you to press harder. And I, at this point, as I'm laying my hands on these bandages and I'm pressing harder, I can feel something squelching between my fingers. And, you know, but the harder I pressed, something happened in that moment. The compassion of God just took over. And before I knew it, I just had this love for this woman. Like, it just rushed out of me. And the Lord showed me this woman as a little girl and a life that she'd... All these things were just flooding my mind. And the love of God overcame everything that was in the natural.
Yeah.
And I wasn't just, you know, holding her arm's length. I was embracing this woman like our lives depended on it. Amen. And I could feel the pleasure of God for her. And, you know, eventually we kind of let go of our embrace. It was one of those ugly crying moments for both of us. And, you know, she took the bandages off and there was no leg ulcers anymore. She had brand new skin.
Amen.
You know, we need to be moved with compassion for people.
Yeah.
Understand that we're just representing Jesus with skin on to people.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
all it is. Yeah. Sometimes people just need a hug. They need a smile. They need to know that they're loved.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah, I think Carrie was talking about this yesterday, you know, how faith works by love.
Yep.
And I think where we've often gotten it mixed up a little bit is we think somehow it's our love. It's like us being lovely and just trying harder to be more loving, as opposed to realizing, no, this is not what Scripture was talking about there in Galatians. This is all about understanding how loved we are by God.
Yeah.
Amen? Faith works by knowing how loved we are by God. And isn't it interesting how Jesus was always led by the Holy Spirit, but he was moved by compassion.
Yeah.
And when we are ministering, if we've got any other kind of agenda to be ministering to people, you know, sometimes people will get into this real weird, funky thing where it's about how powerful they look or how their persona, whatever, you know, image. Whatever reason it is, if it's other than the love of God, it's the wrong reason.
Amen.
So this is why we want to minister to people. And you know what's interesting, Carly, is people can really sense that.
Yeah.
If you're doing it out of pride or doing it because you think it's all about you, there's something intangible that gets communicated. But the same thing is true with the love of God. When you're moving in compassion and you're meeting people where they are, I'm telling you, it will open up their hearts to a miracle.
Amen. You know, one thing the Lord showed me was the bridge to miracles is found in the secret place.
Amen.
You know, Psalm 91, in the secret place. We find ourselves in the secret place. This is so important. We minister to other people out of the overflow of our relationship with him.
That's it.
That's how we have capacity for other people. It comes from our relationship with the healer. You know, we're not ministering to people outside of that relationship. And healing is a byproduct of our relationship with him. So when we spend time with him, when we spend time allowing him to teach us and guide us and speak to us, you know, when we come to minister to other people, that is what we have put on the inside of us is what's going to come out.
Yeah, yeah. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. So it's not out of the lack of our heart. It's not out of the insufficiency of our heart. Remember again, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. We have the healer living on the inside of us.
Yeah.
And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So whenever we're ministering to someone, we don't ever have to wonder if it's God's will to heal this particular person. Mm-hmm. Or God, is there enough power here? You know, I think someone, I don't remember this week, was talking about how we categorize sickness. Mm-hmm. You know, from a headache to cancer or whatever, you know. Carly and I have seen this through the years. You know, I remember several years ago, we had a lady who was actually a student who had AIDS. Mm-hmm. And she was originally from Africa, and she was here as a student. And she said, can God actually heal AIDS?
Yep.
Absolutely. And when she realized that it wasn't AIDS that was the name above Jesus, but Jesus was the name above every name, including AIDS,
yep,
she received her healing. It was already, I mean, it was just like easy peasy, right? And so we've seen the same thing with different situations. I'm thinking of the young boy that had autism from the UK.
Yeah.
When he had never spoken, and his mom brought him over to healing school one day. She flew over to America because she heard what was happening, and she said, I want to get my son there. Mm-hmm. And his name happened to be Daniel. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember this situation. And so Carly began to minister, and tell him what happened. Do you remember this?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've actually seen numerous children, specifically children, being healed of autism.
Yeah.
And it seems to be kind of an epidemic in today's society. But we've seen a lot of breakthrough in these areas. And they're all different. But this particular case that I remember with this little boy, Daniel, you know, one thing I remember about his parents was they were so full of the joy of the Lord. It was almost like... Mm-hmm. Healing was just something extra. They were really in love with the Lord and had allowed the Lord to just do a work on the inside of them. They were so excited to be here. They were just so excited about the things of God. And when you meet somebody like that, I mean, it's easy for miracles to manifest. It's easy for God's promises to manifest because they're in love with Jesus. That part's really easy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But this little boy, he'd never spoken. He was nonverbal. And I said to his mom, you know, what is it... if you could believe God for one thing to change in this moment, what would it be? And the reason I think the Lord had me ask that question was because sometimes when people have been chronically sick for a long time, it just becomes this big thing. Receiving healing, receiving your miracle just becomes a really big thing. And it becomes bigger than the answer, which is Jesus. And one thing that we can help people with is we magnify the answer, which is Jesus, and we minimize the problem.
Yeah.
We just get their problem and we say, it's not that it doesn't matter. It's not that it's insignificant. It's just in light of Jesus and everything Jesus has done, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
It's like saying, you know what? Instead of look at the mountain, it's like mountain, meet my God. Right? We help them to have some perspective. And so I asked this lady, what can you believe to change right now? Sometimes giving people a starting point in the middle of this whole thing is helpful. You know, you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? You eat an enchilada one bean at a time, whatever works for you. But when you give people a starting point, it can start that snowball of expectation, that snowball of faith. We call it winning a victory in one area first.
Right.
And those people that come with those laundry lists of things, maybe they have 20 different things that's wrong with them. You know, people don't just wake up one day and have 20 different diseases. It's usually over time, and I was one of these people, over time you just kind of collect problems.
Well,
because
even
you don't know any different.
Yeah, even Mike this morning, you know, was sharing that it just started off with a little tiny growth.
Right.
Right? And eventually turned into what it turned into.
It gets bigger and bigger, and you have a new symptom, and then you have a new pill, or you have a new surgery, whatever it is.
Right.
And by the time that we meet people, they're dealing with, you know, 15, 16 different medications and everything that goes with it. But that's usually over a long period of time where they didn't know that they had authority. Where they didn't know that they were powerless.
Yeah.
They didn't know that this healing power was even available, that Jesus was real. And so they find themselves in this predicament, but helping them to use their faith in one area first and get a victory in that area can start a whole snowball effect. So I asked this lady, this mother, you know, what can you believe for one thing? Where would be the good starting point for you in this whole spectrum of things that you're dealing with your son? And she said to me, if he can just speak, it would change our world. I mean, I've never heard him say, Mummy. Just hear my child's voice to make sense, to cut through all of the frustration. It would change everything about his future. And I'm like, oh, that's no problem. And we started talking, and we were in a conversation. We were all sitting like a circle there, and Daniel was there on the chair. And I remember we laid hands on his brain and we prayed for his brains and told everything to come back into order and this, that and the other. And then I carried on talking to his mum. And then I don't know what it was, but I guess it was the Holy Spirit. I just had this unction to ask Daniel. So Daniel, he was being very quiet at the time. Daniel, what do you want to be when you grow up? He's like 5, 6 years old, something like that. And he looks at me and he says, I want to be a doctor.
As clear as a bell. I want to be a doctor.
And we all like... What just happened? And then he starts telling me all these facts and things, all of the information that was going on the inside of him started to come out all in one go. And you know, we never even told his voice to open. We never even prayed for that part.
No.
But it was just a starting point in faith.
Yeah.
We can help people so much when we just get them to win a victory in one area first.
Yeah.
I had a lady one time, she came with a printed list, like this.
Yeah, oh, I have too.
Of all these different things that she had wrong with her.
Yeah.
And she said, what can Jesus do about that then?
I think those are Jesus' favorite.
Right? I'm like, okay, first of all, yes, first of all. You know, and there was a list of different things. And if you're believing for a breakthrough in your own body, you know, you can start with that too. Maybe you've got multiple things that are wrong with you and you just don't know which one to pick first.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that Jesus can't heal everything all in one go. Absolutely he can. But, you know, his power working through us can be limited by our heart condition. How open are we to certain things? You know, it's amazing how many walls we put up. How, you know, and I think this happens, especially when people are dealing with chronic sickness. Mm-hmm. You know, they learn to adapt.
Yeah.
They learn to manage their diseases.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they adapt, they learn to cope. And maybe by the time they come from ministry, they're thinking, well, I guess I should pray for the thing that's going to kill me the first. Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily. What thing can you believe to change when we pray?
Yeah.
Start with that. Because yeah. It might be the pain in your big toe. It might not be the cancer that's ravaging your brain. Yeah. Right? What can you believe to change in this moment? Let's bring people's expectation into a now moment. Mm-hmm. You know, now faith is, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
It's not next week faith, next year faith. What can you believe to change right now in this moment? Mm-hmm. And you know, this woman, she went down a list and she said, well, I had an earache. I'm like, okay, let's start with the earache, right? Something really, really simple. We prayed for her, the earache went. And she goes, okay, yeah. I'm like, well, the power of God is working in your body. You had an earache and now you don't have any pain. Is that right? Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
So she went from being almost like, you know, antagonistic, resistant to, oh, hang on a minute. You know, something did change. It does feel a bit better.
Right.
And then what we do is we magnify what God is already doing in her body. You mean you had the power of God in your body and you had pain? Let me get this clear.
Yeah.
You had pain in your ear, like it was blocked, you couldn't hear much when you came in, and that's right. And we prayed and it all went. Sometimes just repeating things back to people helps them realize what's just happened to them.
Yeah.
You may have noticed Ashley doing this when he did testimonies, because we want people to understand and hear again
right. What
just happened to them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you say, okay, what's next on your list? Let's attack the next thing.
Yeah.
And you know, when they come to point number two on their list, they've already experienced the power of God working in their body. Now they're primed.
Right.
Now they're switched on, right? Yeah. You can start with a low-level thing, and by the time you get to the brain cancer, it's not a problem. Because we've already seen God heal the knee and the back and the ear and the eye and everything else. The cancer's no big deal.
Yeah.
We've started to put a magnifying glass on everything that God is doing in their body in that moment.
Yeah.
And it just builds their faith. It's like a snowball effect.
It really is. And, you know, pain is such a problem in so many people's lives. And so when you're ministering to somebody, man, if you can start with that pain piece, you know, and get rid of that pain.
It's so tangible.
And when that pain goes, I mean, it's like their whole floodgates of their heart just begin to open up to the supernatural.
You know, I think something happens when people are in a lot of pain, they struggle to hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, you know, wait until they think it's something big. And I want to just encourage you as a believer, like when you're having symptoms come against your body, don't wait until it becomes something where you have to go to the hospital or you feel you have to call 911 or whatever it happens to be. Start with whatever it is, small.
Yeah, I mean, David, he killed the lion and the bear before he went after Goliath.
Right?
Right? God is a practical God.
I mean, if it's a headache.
Yeah, start with that.
Yeah, yep. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, when it's small, you'll nip it in the bud before it ever gets to be big. And a lot of times, I mean, I grew up in a ministry home. We want to give time for ministry, so I want to tell this story quickly here. But I remember as a Baptist kid, I would hear these testimonies of kids who had been delivered from drugs and, you know, alcoholism or whatever. And I thought, you know what? I don't even have a testimony. I haven't done anything like that. I'm just like such a church kid. I need to go out and sin so I can have a testimony. How stupid would it be to wait until something is as big as stage 4 cancer to start believing God for healing? Amen. Start when it's small, when it's in the day-to-day, with whatever those little situations are. And as we apply the Word of God to these areas in our lives, we're going to start seeing small victories become big victories.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going to help people realize that, you know what? This isn't just something for a conference. This is actually my lifestyle.
Yeah.
This is how I'm living. Yeah. And it's working for me.
Yeah, so, amen. So build your faith in things that aren't going to kill you first.
Right.
I mean, just start small. You can start in your big toe, whatever it is that hurts you. You don't have to go for the whole enchilada in one go. Start with a bean.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's, but don't worry, those beans are powerful.
Oh, man. That is such a great story. Speaking of stories, you know, Mike was talking about Caroline Hesch and the 38 size D bra, you know. Well, Carly's got a story.
Oh, no. Not that one.
And it started with a scratch in her voice, in her throat. It started something just small. And she's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you tell the story.
Oh, my gosh. See, he sets me up with this. There's two reasons why you want me to tell this story. I can tell. So anyway, I was at home and I was sleeping and I woke up in the night and I had a scratchy throat and a sore armpit. And, you know, sometimes your imagination can just work against you as well as for you. Has anyone ever had that? Right? Where you start putting two and two together and you think, well, the only possible explanation for a scratchy throat and a pain in the armpit has to be I'm dying of cancer. Listen, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, okay?
And you know what? In today's world, if you Google it...
Oh, don't do
that.
And
you go to WebMD... By the time you get done with all the symptoms, you definitely will have cancer.
It's like a bingo card. You're looking through, oh, I've got all of the symptoms. And even the ones I didn't have before, by the time you get to the end of the list, you'll have those too, right? You've manifested. You had faith for them. So my imagination is going crazy. And then I'm planning my funeral because my husband's sleeping in the bed next to me. I'm like, he doesn't even care, you know? I mean... And I'm concerned for him because we had three young children at the time. And I'm like, he can't even pack a lunchbox. I don't know how he's going to do this parenting thing, right? I don't know how the kids are even going to get to school. You know, I better plan my funeral. And then, you know, after a while of this in the small midnight hours and getting very offended with my husband because, you know, he's just sleeping through my last dying hours.
Care less.
You know, snoring away there. I'm like, oh, maybe I should pray. Has it come to that, right? Maybe I should pray. So I get up and I'm like, okay, the quiet prayers aren't going to do it. I'm going to have to get loud. I'm going to have to go in the bathroom and shut the door. So I go in the bathroom and I go to warring tongues. And, you know, anyone ever done that? Warring tongues?
Oh, yeah.
And they're really forceful. And all of a sudden I hear the Lord saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm praying, Lord. I'm dying. Don't you care? And he says to me, you need to check your bra. And that wasn't the response that I was looking for in that moment.
You know what? The Lord has never said that to me.
Why? I don't know why. He might have to Mike, actually, to Mike, if you can understand.
Sorry, Mike.
But, you know, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, like, a scripture or something encouraging in my last moments, you know, to welcome me into the everlasting kingdom. But none of that. No, check your bra. So it wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away. So in the end, I'm like, well, either that is I've had too much cheese pizza, or it is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So I decided to go to the closet and find the bra that I'd been wearing that day. And I discovered that it was an elderly bra. Girls know what this means, an elderly bra. You know when it needs replacing and the underwire starts to poke through the sides. You don't understand.
I can't quite relate to that either.
Well, it turned out that my underwire of my bra had been poking me in the side, hence the pain that was there. It, like, you know, punctured it. And I had a cold and I was just sleeping with my mouth open. So I wasn't dying after all, right? There was a really simple explanation for all of that.
Very underwhelming.
Underwhelming. But, you know, I don't know what the point of that story was.
The point was it starts small.
It starts small, yes, very small symptom.
And you build it up to where you're dying of cancer.
There we go.
Right?
So, oh my gosh.
So nip it in the bud when it's small. See, whatever that little symptom is that's coming against you. You know, I love what Audrey Mack said when she taught, you know, about how temptation to sin is like symptoms to your body, something along those lines. I change it every time I quote her.
Temptation is to sin what sickness symptoms are to sickness.
Yeah. But when symptoms come against your body, it doesn't mean you're sick.
That's right.
It means it's just trying to take residence inside of the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You don't have to accept those symptoms. Amen?
Amen.
So, guys, when we get this in our own lives and we're beginning to live this from the inside out, I'm telling you, it starts to get fun.
Amen.
To where you actually see opportunity everywhere.
Come on. So we don't need to make this complicated, but we want to give you the opportunity to be the prayer ministers for this session. This is where you get excited, okay? This is where you should get excited. Okay, so let's start here. I want to start with the people that haven't prayed for people before. You had your hands up earlier. Where are you? Where are you? Good. Come on out here for me. Come on out here.
Put
your hands up. Come on, let them out. Let them out real quick. You can stand up. Let's all stand up so they can get out. Yeah. Let's everyone stand up in their seat so that people can move by you. I want the people that haven't prayed for people before to come on down here. You're going to be our prayer ministers, okay? And we've never had anyone die of fear yet. And we would raise you from the dead.
And you will not be the first.
So come on down. If you're very nervous about praying for people, this is your opportunity to get over it.
Amen.
Say to yourself, get over it. Come on down. There we go. We've got people coming.
Turn around.
Come on down here. We want to see you. Yep. We're going to give you some instruction.
Yep. And just turn around.
Come on down here. Perfect. And let me just qualify you as well here, okay? Because if you've got a sickness in your own body, that does not disqualify you from praying for somebody else.
Yeah,
because remember, it is Jesus that is the healer. It is not you.
There you go. Yep.
So when you lay hands on people, you are not responsible for the results. Okay? Really important. Also, when you pray for people, you do not have to overcome any symptoms in your own body. So it's easier, 100% easier to lay hands on somebody else than it is to receive even for yourself. Because you don't have to overcome any natural symptoms of your body speaking to you.
Yeah.
Right? You're not feeling what they're feeling. All we have to do is be the hands that that lay on and speak to the problem.
Yeah.
That's all we're gonna do here. Okay, so I need ushers, can you help me? I need some people that are willing to come and receive prayer from these anointed prayer ministers that are vastly experienced in the Lord, that Jesus has anointed and set apart for a moment such as this. The glory of God is resting upon them. They are ready and charged and willing. So come on down, ushers, if you can help us, if you need to receive healing, come on down and receive from our prayer ministry team. And all I want you to do is line people up in front of our prayer ministers. Can you do that real quick? Start moving. Now listen. You may feel a little fear and intimidation on the inside of you. It's okay. You're not gonna die doing this. Okay? It's gonna be all right. If you're afraid, you're in the right place, because that means that you're gonna rest entirely on the Lord in this moment. Okay? So come on forward. We've got some more people that are available here. You can let them through. Yep. Let them through. Let's not take too much time here. I want to line a person up. One person in front of each person right here. And on the other side as well.
Yeah, on the other side. And remember, we're going to just speak healing over their bodies. We're going to just declare healing in Jesus' name. You don't have to find out all the diagnoses.
Okay.
Pray long.
Okay,
prayers.
Now we're going to start speaking to the problem, okay? Start praying for them. Ask them what the problem is. And speak directly to the problem and command it to go in the name of Jesus. Take authority over the problem in their body and command it to go in the name of Jesus. And everyone else can begin praying in their prayer language. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are healing people right here. You are healing people in their bodies, in their minds, that you are knitting people's bones back together again, that you are making organs come back to life, that you are relieving pain, that you are opening ears, that you are making cancers and disease leave their body. Cancer and disease leave bodies right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now before they go anywhere, don't let her go. Come back. Before they go anywhere, I don't know why I'm using this actually. Before they go anywhere, we're going to ask them if anything has changed in their body. Okay? Ask them if anything's changed in their body. Let's get some testing out. Let's get them to move something, do something that they couldn't do before. Try it out. That's right. Yeah. All right. Sometimes we pray more than once. That's all right. Come on down.
We've
got people being prayed for, ministered to all over the place down here. Very cool. All right. So how did that young man get on?
It says his stiffness in his neck is
We are gone. Still live streaming. And I want to just, we're going to cut off the live stream here in just a minute, but I want to just encourage those of you who are joining us via the live stream. We have prayer ministers standing by right now. They're wanting to minister to you as well. So it's not just here in the auditorium, but that number on your screen, if you will call that number, 719 area code 635-1111, you can experience the same thing that we're experiencing right now here in this room. So don't wait. Do it now, because you know what? We're going to see the power of God manifest in whatever that situation is. It's not bigger than the name of Jesus. 719-635-1111. And I want to just tell you, thank you for being a part of our Healing Is Here conference this year. We have another great session planned for tonight. So hopefully you can join us for our next session as well. God bless you. Until next time, stay blessed in Jesus' name.